my mouth.
No, oh, what am I saying?
What, this? It's nothing. Really, it's nothing, Ed. It's just, it's just Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve.
Have a good time. Make sure your seatbelts are fastened.
Okay, you little bastards. The time has come. The moment we've all been waiting for. It's the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Let's go.
Get this bad boy rolling. Welcome one, welcome all. Another great podcast is forthcoming, and you're here just in time. Thanks for downloading.
Right. Everything is great around here. I'm just going to start doing the Trump thing. Greatest podcast ever. It defeats everything. Everything else sucks.
You know, it's an interesting way to live your life. I mean, my sister does this thing all the time where, like, no matter what's happening in her life, good or bad, she's always like, it's fine. It's fine. Just, I mean, right. Really tightens her bottom lip. It's fine, and lies through it. So is that what you feel like doing today?
I don't know. People keep telling me to be positive, project positivity. So is that what Trump is doing? At what point does projecting positivity become flagrant narcissism and lying?
Well, I think we've seen that for the last, who knows how long now, freaking 6 years. How long has he been around? Six, I don't know.
7,000 years. Well, anyways, I don't know. It's a fine podcast we got going on here, and I appreciate y'all stopping by. You can find our website, thevocalminority.net, for those that still play around with websites.
Yeah.
Otherwise, get social.
Yeah, go get social. Check out our TikTok page, YouTube, Reddit. We're on Threads, Blue Sky, all the majors, none of the minors. Call our comment line, 844-48-VOCAL. And, let me say this officially.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
Mm-hmm. Well, plenty going on, as always. I was unnecessarily explaining my job to a banker today, and she said, well, hey, at least if you talk about the news and politics, there's a lot to talk about, right? I said, yeah, a nauseating amount of stuff to talk about. Yes.
It's put me in the mood that you see me in now, lady. So, hey, man, what's the deal with you going to a bank? I mean, it seems like only big ballers go to banks these days. I haven't been to a bank in years.
Well, we just earned a dollar on the show. I'm pointing at it for those of you watching, and I got to put that in a bank eventually. So I thought I'd
literally $1.
A couple more about that, yeah. But taxes, fees, I think a dollar is what we're depositing. So, business blowing up. So I had to go into a bank, and, you know, the good old days, you could just walk into a bank and they would bend over backwards to your opening an account, like balloons would fall from the ceiling and the seas would part. And now it's like you're an inconvenience and you got to schedule an appointment. And this banker had attitude, like, I schedule an appointment, I show up, and she comes out. She's like, are you here to see a banker? I'm like, yeah, I scheduled an appointment. I'm sitting here.
Why couldn't you do it online, dude? Why couldn't you do it on an app? I mean, that's the way I've literally opened all my accounts, is on the app or online.
I don't think it works that way. I mean, at least not in this state. I had to show them documentation for business licenses and my doing business as name, which you have to file separately in the stupid fucking state I'm in. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think you can do that stuff online.
Do you miss California? Is California more reasonable to you?
I miss California, but more reasonable? That's debatable. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm in Nevada, where for the most part, there's no regulations on anything. But then there's dumb ones on some things and hoops you got to jump through and all that. So that's what I was doing. And I got to listen to everyone. This woman went on the whole, where'd you stall? California. That's a big problem. People coming here from California. I'm like, yeah, thanks for telling me to go fuck myself. Like, as I'm sitting here at your desk.
Did she?
Yeah, it's a big problem. People that want to move to your state and add to the economy and live here. Sorry.
Yeah, why do people see that as a problem? I don't understand. But did she ask you to use your radio voice? Can I hear your radio voice?
No, honestly, I tried to keep all my answers to like two or three words. I was so not in the mood. And then she already pissed me off and starts asking me, what kind of news are you doing? Oh, you get into politics? I'm just like, I'm not telling you my politics, woman.
Yeah.
We're sitting here in rural Nevada. I don't need my bank account being instantly hacked or reported to the feds.
That is a dangerous game. Hey, dude, before you've got your problems, I've got mine. My problem, let me just share this with you. I want to get your opinion on how you would handle this. Okay, we don't have to talk about it for a long time, but I've got AirPods. I've had them for a while. I can look them up on the Find My Phone app on iPhone, and I lost my AirPods, okay? So I pull up, find my iPod or AirPods, whatever. They are at a neighbor's house.
Well, that pin is not pinpoint accurate. So you got to be careful about that.
Well, this
is there any scenario where you were near that house and you lost them?
No.
So what are you saying? You dropped them outside and the neighbors picked them up?
I think that they're a quarter of a mile from me, but they, you know where my house sits and there's all those woods in my backyard? Yeah. They're the house behind me. So you have to go on a whole different road to get to their house. The only thing I can think of is when I was out walking the dog, maybe I took them off, put them in my pocket. They fell out and somebody picked them up and, you know, I don't know, maybe I don't think they're doing anything necessarily nefarious, but I did try and go to their house yesterday and I knocked on their door and I was ready to rumble, but they didn't answer their door. So, do I go back?
Yeah, absolutely. I would just approach it from the innocent of like, hey, I lost my AirPods and it's showing it that it's right around your house. I'm trying to figure out, did I drop them near here or did you guys find them and just bring them inside? Like, don't accuse them.
Look, motherfucker.
You know, if I found someone's AirPods, I'd probably keep them. But if someone knocked on the door and said, I see them, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I picked them up. I was just going to report them on the Find Your Neighbor app.
Yes,
or
I keep going on that app to see if anyone's reported. And not as of yet, but I'll let you know how it turns out. All right, let's get to some news.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know. Start the news chant, please.
Come on.
News, 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 news.
Steve Harness.
I'm thinking of condensing the show and just saying that Trump is a scumbag and he's up to scummy things yet again today. Thank you for tuning in.
We'll see you next week. Yeah, right. Wouldn't me.
Just loop that for the next 3.5 years. Google the details, all right?
Yeah, it'll probably work. But I think there are a lot of people stepping back from the news right now, and it's not something we want them to do. So we're just giving them the little snippets they need to know. So we have a job here, right. Steve. Come on.
All right. I feel like every weekend, I don't know if Trump sits up drinking Red Bull, but every weekend he goes on some tangent, and it's usually in the middle of the night. And the latest one, just weird. President Donald Trump says he is directing his government Who the hell wrote this article? He's directing our government to reopen and expand Alcatraz, the notorious former prison on a hard-to-reach California island sitting in the middle of the San Francisco Bay, which has been closed for 60 years.
Are you kidding me?
And is complete. No. Have you not heard this fun
one? No, dude. Have you been to Alcatraz? Yes.
I will tell you. I mean, Alcatraz is a few hours away from me. It's a major tourist destination. Apparently brings in about $60 million a year. It is on a federal piece of land. It's a park apparently out there. And every time I go to San Francisco, that thing is booked out for weeks, if not months. So the closest I've come is a tour that goes around Alcatraz. But no, I've never set foot on the rock. And apparently, I don't know if Trump was watching Sean Connery, right, and Nick Cage and The Rock, where the hell this idea came from. You know, I think it's an aesthetic sort of thing. He thinks this will be a good visual. We reopen Alcatraz and start sticking hardcore immigrants or whatever the hell out
there. So freaking stupid. I mean, he's obviously just trying to stick it to San Francisco. You know, he wants to ruin another great liberal place and load it up with criminals. I have been to Alcatraz, and I've been inside the jail cells and everything else, and you know, that property is beyond dilapidated, but it's just a pipe dream to do that. That's crazy talk.
I mean, for anyone who's talking about fiscal responsibility, this would be insanely fiscally irresponsible. It's the reason the prison got shut down 60 years ago. It costs 3 times as much to run Alcatraz back then as it did any other sort of federal prison. So, and like you just mentioned, it's so funny that you said how dilapidated the thing is, because you can tell that just going around the island, but everyone I know that's been in it has said, like, yeah, that place is run down. So the estimates are 150 up to 300 million just to renovate Alcatraz. So, I mean, it's completely irresponsible fiscally, and it only holds currently about 300 prisoners. So it's not some high capacity thing. It would just be for the aesthetics. And probably, yeah, to try to screw with Newsom and stick it to California.
I was going to say, dude, it's fine. You know what? I was there. I was probably there 25 years ago. And to my recollection, It is small. It's tiny. I mean, it is. It's a museum now. It is to get that thing back in working order, especially for high level prisoners. The whole thought of Alcatraz was like, hey, they can't escape. There's nowhere to go. And there were people who tried to swim and died constantly, doing it.
Well,
but
we don't know that actually. One of the reasons they also shut it down was that I could pull it all up, but I won't bother. Like the Clint Eastwood movie was based on the story of the three inmates that escaped. Yeah. And they're pretty sure at least one of them actually did make it to land, proving that you can escape Alcatraz. So they shut it down because, A, it was proven to be escapable, and, B, it was costing way too frickin' much. Yeah. Not only in the upkeep and maintenance, all the salt water in the air right there, but just getting guards to work every day. You got to take a ferry out there. So that means the government's going to have boats taking everyone to Alcatraz every day.
This is a guy, dude. If you think about the kind of guy he is, he wants to have a military birthday party. Wasting money and stuff like that. So this is in line with what he wants to do. Like, he talks about Doge and cutting, government waste, fraud, and abuse. And he is all about, when the optics are good for him, when he wants to do something, let's do it. Let's spend this money. Alcatraz. Reopen Alcatraz? Are you kidding me?
Listen, he could spend way less and build a brand new state-of-the-art maximum security prison that's in the middle of the desert or wherever. But somebody must have mentioned Alcatraz because it came flying out of his mouth. I do know that back in January, Don Jr. apparently tweeted something about that, we need more prison space in America. What up? We should reopen Alcatraz maybe. So I don't know if Little Boy Blue there brought it up to him or where it came from. Or, was he watching TBS and saw The Rock or something and thought, great
idea. Should open it back up. He's such a freaking nerd, dude.
Another brilliant idea coming from Trump's late night Twitter rants.
Yes, indeed.
Need to know news.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
News you need to know.
I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Nobody's got time for it, but it happens. Let's talk about the latest with the Trump administration, their move to defund PBS and NPR, prompting some legal challenge as of now. I thought this was really a great, it's a great article overall, but did you understand why Trump ever thought, oh, I should go after PBS? I should go after PBS. Well, if you didn't, let me share this with you.
President Trump has signed an executive order to stop federal funding for NPR and PBS, two of the pillars of public broadcasting in America. And that's where you find popular programming like PBS's NewsHour, NPR's Tiny Desk concerts, and even the beloved Sesame Street. Maybe Trump just never got over this.
Donald Trump happens to have the most trash of any grouch in the world.
Yeah, he's loaded with trash.
His name is on every piece of trash in town.
I'm looking for an apprentice.
Huh?
A helper.
Ah!
I got so much trash, I need somebody to help me sort it. And whoever I pick to be my helper gets to keep some of my very own trash. Of course, I'll still have more trash than you do. So, yeah.
There was an episode of Sesame Street where, Donald Trump didn't make an appearance, but as a puppet, they put a blonde, weird-looking wig on Oscar the Grouch. And they did this whole skit about Donald Trump being a garbage man, basically. And people are starting to wonder, like, did he have a hard time getting past this? This was not the first time that PBS, public broadcasting station, has been taken on. Nixon tried to do it years ago, and Mr. Rogers stepped up and convinced people, hey, this is something that needs to stay. Did you watch Sesame Street or anything on PBS with your kids?
Oh, yeah, sure. No, I mean, Sesame Street was a big one, and I think it was Caillou was on PBS too. I mean, there's a few for sure. Clifford the Big Red Dog, he was on PBS too.
Mr. Rogers, dude. I mean, Mr. Rogers was a big hero to me growing up, and
he died of sweater cancer during the original Vocal Minority. I remember talking about that. So my kids were not alive for the Rogers.
Oh, days. That's true. But he runs in rerun. I mean, you can still see Mr. Rogers on TV. He running old shows.
Did they?
Oh, yeah.
I never saw that in those years, but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, but listen to me, dude. The problem with getting rid of PBS is, you heard just then, you know, there's a lot of great programming on PBS and NPR. But the problem with defunding these organizations and withdrawing federal funding is that most of the programming for these particular stations goes into areas where other stuff isn't as readily available. Poor communities, people who don't have money and are watching TV. This is where the programming lands in some of these marginalized communities and people that are poorer. So taking this away from people is going to be a big deal. And then you think about taking the arts away from people, like Tiny Desk Concert, which I'm a huge fan of. And then you just think about the non-partisan, non-biased programming that they offer. Just because they say things that are true that you don't like doesn't mean that they lean towards the left. They don't. It's just factual broadcasting.
Yeah. There's some nuance in here. Yeah, on one level, I'm sure if PBS and NPR and Sesame Street were praising Trump, he wouldn't even contemplate going after them. And yes, facts have liberal bias, so if NPR's covering the news, it's going to make Trump look bad, of course. But I don't know, man. On one level, NPR and PBS can go fuck themselves. As somebody that owned and operated a radio station for the last 10 years, those fucktards can play by the same rules as everyone else. Go sell some advertisers. Pay for yourself.
Well, they do.
No one subsidized me.
Well, you're a private business. This is...
Right. And what are they, though?
They're public.
I know, but what's the difference between what NPR does and what 710 Cairo in Seattle does, or what KOWL in Tahoe did?
Exactly.
Both are news talk radio stations.
Yeah, but they're...
NPR cannot technically have sponsorships. They don't technically sell ads, but they do. Every segment is brought to you by or sponsored by... They should just go sell regular advertising and survive like every other broadcast medium.
Disagree,
does.
Dude. That's where you get if you get the Kairos, or, you know, you get a station that leans right or leans left. This is public broadcasting. This is just the facts. These are just the facts of people doing stories that we need to know about. And they're just the facts. And they have educational programming. So, yes, they can't go necessarily sell stuff, but they are viewer-funded, and they get, you know, some money federally.
That's the other thing, this whole begging your listeners for money. I don't agree with any of it. I think if they're going to play in the broadcast world, they should live and die by the sword like the rest of us do. But, and whether a news station is left, right, or down the middle, that's up to them. If the free market is going to support NPR, then they can get by just fine. And if listeners are going to donate to get their tote bag, then they should be just fine.
Yeah, I disagree. I mean, like I said, most of this programming goes into poor communities. You know, there's a lot of people who get their education from some of these stations, listening to some of these stations.
PBS. First of all, NPR is for old, middle-aged white dudes at the youngest end of that spectrum. So there's no Sesame Street or anything on NPR. That boring-ass talk radio station can live or die by themselves. And apparently they're so beloved, I don't know why they can't get by on ad dollars alone. It should be fine. The problem with PBS, you know, Sesame Street and Caillou and Clifford the Big Red Dog and all that kind of stuff is... technology is aging that whole thing out. How many poor neighborhoods have rabbit ears on their TVs and are watching Clifford to get their education? Like, they're on television, and that is a dying art form right now.
Oh, no, dude. What, I mean, what are you talking about? You think TV's going away? TV's never going away, dude.
are you kidding me right now? TV used to be the number one form of a broadcast medium in this country since it was invented. It is now down to number three and falling every day. Cord cutting, streaming. People are still going to watch things on a television. Sure. But the idea of needing cable television is going to go away soon. And the idea of public over the airwaves television, I mean, that is an infinitesimal percentage of people watching television. And it's just dying on a daily basis.
What about the people who can't pay for it, dude? What about the people who cannot pay for programming?
How do you afford the TV then?
Let's be real, dude. What about the people who can't pay for programming on a monthly basis? I can buy a TV right now for $100. You know, I got to pay $100 or, in my case, $300 every month to keep programming. What about the people who can't afford the programming?
Then they get what's free over the airwaves, which is just dying, and it's going to keep dying because that is local stations, and yes, it's PBS. Local stations only exist for their news channels anymore. There is nothing else making revenue for a local TV station.
Oh,
all the other programming is syndicated.
No, that's not true, dude. You mean local television stations? As far as, like, if I'm going to watch Law & Order SVU, you don't think that makes money?
Mm-hmm. That's funny. All of that is on apps nowadays, and that's where it's going to continue to go. King 5 in Seattle, their revenue is dying on a daily basis from the syndicated shows that air during the day and from the national stuff that airs at night. They are down to a few minutes of barter airtime that they can make any money off of, and it's just shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. Local television stations will be dead within 10 years. There's no way they can sustain it beyond that. They don't. Why? Why? A freaking building and staff and vehicles and an FCC license and towers and everything is available online. It's an antiquated business model. We know that. We just lived it in the world of radio.
No, I understand, dude. But people are watching their television. People are still watching their local channels. You can't have that go away. You can't have it go away. You can't have it go away for several reasons. You think in 10 years, local TV stations will be gone?
Yes.
Maybe in
local news will not be. Look what I'm doing. Outside of this thing, for those that don't know, I have started a local news outlet in my town where I am doing web-based news every day. And I'm doing better than the local TV station. I've got 5 times the audience they do. And that's going up for me and down for them every day. So news will shift to online only, and to have it run by an FCC-based local broadcast company is asinine. Yet my overhead just went from $30,000 a month to do something like that down to $200 a month doing it out of my home studio, and I have a bigger audience.
I understand in that market you do, but not in a major market like New York or Chicago or Seattle or L.A., you know.
But you can and you will. That's where it's going to go.
Well, I guess we'll see. We disagree on PBS. Yes, and NPR. I think they're both important things to have. And the fact that he is spending any time taking federal funding away from either of these two things is freaking ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing it for petty, spiteful reasons. I'm just saying the writing is on the wall, you know. And if these guys can't survive on their own, then my sympathies become limited.
Well, yeah.
So fuck you, Big Bird.
Yeah. Well, I don't agree with you, dude. I think you've got fucking mental issues for that, dude. Fucking Big Bird.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Another Trump optics story that I just find humorous. Now, today recording day is May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, so that means yesterday was the 4th day of May. Do you, Nick Reynolds, non-sci-fi geek, know what the 4th day of May is?
May the 4th be with you.
Yes, it's Star Wars Day, everybody. Something that became a thing a few years back. So the White House decided they were going to get in on May the 4th. The White House appeared to reveal its true colors, foreshadowing, while marking Star Wars Day on social media to celebrate May the 4th. The office's official X account posted a AI photo of a buff Donald Trump holding a red lightsaber in front of a pair of bald eagles and the American flags. Have you seen this nauseating picture?
Yes, he's all roided out, and it's just so weird that you guys make these AI pictures of him as some frickin' hero that he's not.
Yes, two problems with this. One is, yes, and you've brought this up before, and you're so spot on with it, that Trump loves these AI photos of him as Rambo or some soldier or Superman, and now as a Star Wars character. This is why he hates that portrait that was hanging in Colorado, because it looked like him. It was an accurate portrait. He's like, no, don't like that. I like the roided out me looking like a superhero cowboy guy. That's what I like.
Yes, he does, dude. When I first saw the picture, obviously, the first thing I did was shake my head and say, are you fucking kidding me? The second thing I did is I'm going to have to ask Steve, is the lightsaber the correct color?
So that's the other great part. Did you know the answer to that when you first looked at that?
No, I didn't. I waited to ask you.
I instantaneously seeing that picture, I was just like, they don't even understand how stupid they just made themselves look. Okay. So the text that went along with this post said, happy May the 4th to all, including the radical left lunatics who are fighting so hard to bring Sith lords, murderers, drug lords, dangerous prisoners, and well-known MS-13 gang members back into our galaxy. You're not the rebellion, you're the Empire. May the 4th be with you. Wow. So, Nick, do you know what a Sith is?
I remember the Sith Lord from Star Wars, but no, I mean, I don't. I could see it and tell you, oh, that's a Sith Lord, but I don't know what it is.
Well, Darth Vader is the most famous Sith Lord. A Sith is the equivalent of a Jedi, but on the dark side of the Force. Okay. So if you're on the light side of the Force and you're a warrior, you're a Jedi. If you're on the bad side, you're a Sith. Okay. The Sith Lords exclusively use red lightsabers. They're the only ones in the Star Wars universe that use a red lightsaber. So they put him in the picture with a red lightsaber, which means he is a Sith Lord. He is evil incarnate.
That is hysterical, dude. And that's why I waited to ask you, because I knew right away. I was like, oh, he's holding a red lightsaber. I wonder if that is the right lightsaber. And it is, but it's not supposed to be.
I mean, it's accurate for who he is, because he is Darth Vader. He is the evil entity out there. He is definitely on the dark side of the Force. And the fact that no nerd in that universe, who thought that it was a good idea to post on Star Wars, yet they didn't take a split second to research the color of the lightsaber, and they could have picked any other color and been correct, but they picked red.
That is
the only one
so
the Sith
great,
uses.
Dude. I mean, what is wrong with him that he loves getting off on these AI pictures? He made a card series, the Donald Trump card series, out of all these AI pictures. I mean, I can only imagine, dude. You know that I've been doing some work lately in AI trying to get them to make logos and stuff like that. So I've been playing around with this a little bit. I belong to this Facebook group where people will post a picture and then ask people who Photoshop to fix certain things. And sometimes they're funny, like it'll be a girl posing in a bikini and she'll be like, take that fat guy in the background out, or stuff like that, okay? Well, somebody asked to try and put this girl posing in this bikini. She had her arm around a guy. Try and put the ugliest guy next to her that could possibly be. And I told AI to put Donald Trump next to her, and I was going to post it on this page. Well, AI would not do it. It goes against their policy standards to use AI to put Donald Trump into a picture, which I thought.
For any celebrity or just the president?
I think for any celebrity, to be fair. But okay. I'm just wondering. So my point is I've been playing with this app. I think Donald Trump plays with this app and just like that's his new porn at home. And I can just see it. Like you type something into the search box and then this opaque square comes up as it's generating the image. And I can just see him in there freaking stroking, waiting for it to come up.
Whoa. Sounds about right. I mean, some AI must be willing and able to make a presidential, fake picture, because we see him all the time, including him just posting himself as the Pope. I mean, Jesus Christ, literally. Jesus Christ, please help us. Yeah. So, but, it's also funny, though, because you're right. This is an AI-generated picture. So somebody asked an AI program to generate a picture of Donald Trump as a Star Wars character, and AI was smart enough to give him a red lightsaber because they know he's pure evil.
Yeah.
So that was just the logical way to portray him, was with a red lightsaber, according to AI.
Isn't that interesting, dude? I've shared with you before that, during Donald Trump's first term, when he was posting all his shit to Twitter at the time, I was like, how unpresidential is it that he is posting like this? Well, now it's the new norm, right? That everything is posted like this. I'm wondering, with the White House, especially this administration, this newest for Donald Trump, the White House in particular has been posting crazy shit on the White House page. I mean, they posted people being taken away in shackles and chains on the White House page. And I can't remember what the joke was, but they're making these really unsavory jokes on the White House page. That is unprecedented.
I feel like they've hired some 15-year-old high school girl to run their social media account.
Yeah.
With just the gossip and the AI and all the bullshit they do on
completely.
There.
Completely. One of my stories today is the whole Pope thing with Donald Trump. Okay. And they, it is so crazy that someone made Donald Trump as the Pope from AI. And the White House reposted that, dude. The official White House page reposted that. I mean, Catholics are pissed. Like, no. Like, what the frick are you talking about, dude, to put him in that light? And then Lindsey Graham to come out and speak on it and say, like, oh, I think he'd make a great pope. Like, that's something that shouldn't be taken out of the equation. Well, let me...
Yes, it should.
It should, because let me tell you, the one thing that Donald Trump absolutely doesn't have is he's not Catholic, dude. I think you have to be Catholic to be a pope. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's true, but...
Probably, and he also kind of has a full-time job already.
Yeah.
So there's that, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, did you see Lindsey Graham? Like, this would be the first hybrid of pope and president. Like, don't discount it. Don't write it off. Like, are we seriously having this conversation right now?
Well, the next time I offend Catholics with my random commentary and humor, let's just all remember that Trump suggested that as a non-Catholic, he should be pope.
Okay? Yeah. This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Speaking of stupid things that our president is doing right now, I want to get your thoughts on this, Steve. The Trump administration is now offering $1,000 to undocumented immigrants for voluntary departure. If you would like to leave this country and take off yourself, this incentive program launched, the Trump administration introducing $1,000 and travel assistance, mind you, to undocumented immigrants who voluntarily return to their home countries. CBP home app utilization, you know, they got rid of that app for a long time. Migrants can now signal their intent to self-deport using that CBP home app, formerly known as CBP One.
Yeah. So first of all, as a U.S. citizen myself, can I get this offer if I want to go back to Scotland or Germany or where my family's from?
That's a great point.
Like, let's not discriminate, because I'm tempted, trust me. Secondly, who here trusts the United States government right now for you to go on some app and be like, hi, I'm an illegal immigrant. Here's my name and where I'm at. Send me some money. Like, this is like when the cops do those stings with people on parole. They're like, you want a free boat? Come on down. And then they just arrest them.
Yes, dude, so completely. Please. Who would trust that? That A, you're going to get the money. B, where the F are they going to take you?
No, I would have zero faith in that program. I can't imagine it would generate much interest. Because, yeah, you've destroyed your credibility. They're just going to assume you will arrest them and they will get nothing.
Dude, some of these people have nearly died getting here to try and survive from where they came from. $1,000, you think it's going to do it? You think that they're going to, line up for that? They say cost-effective strategy. The Department of Homeland Security estimates that self-deportation could reduce federal deportation costs by up to 70% compared to the average of $17,000. That is the cost of arresting, detaining, deporting an individual, including travel. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think that. And so, you know, you couldn't even give them, you know, $6,000. You know, if you're saving 17 grand, you couldn't even give them $6,000 to leave on their own.
And what did they say? Up to 70 million. It could save. It could. Yes. I'm sure if every person here on undocumented status signed up for your $1,000, you could. Sure. Mm-hmm. It's like when they said last week that, you know, we confiscated so much fentanyl that it could save 250 million lives, like 2/3 of the population. It could. And what they're trying to say there is if every single person took the minimum amount of fentanyl required to overdose, that every single one of you overdosed, this isn't a fentanyl to kill 200 million of
completely.
You. So you're just like, please. So, yes, this program could do X, Y, or Z. Sure, it could. And I could learn to walk on water.
Yes, the advocates are criticizing immigration advocates' caution and self-deportation could have significant legal consequences, especially for those already in removal proceedings, potentially leading to a 10-year ban on reentry. So if you leave, you could get a 10-year ban on reentering the country. The DHS is reporting that thousands of migrants have already utilized the CBP home app to initiate self-deportation with more departures planned. I don't buy that, dude.
I don't buy it either. I mean, I don't buy anything they're selling. And unless you're going to show us proof on these numbers, yeah, I definitely don't believe it. And I don't know, what would stop somebody from taking the grand, going across the border, and just walking right back in then if it's so easy?
Yeah, yeah, who knows? President Trump said, you know, he's been touting all week long, especially on that interview with Kristen Welker that he just did this past few days. He said, the border, turns out the border, it didn't need any legislation. We didn't need anything. We needed a new president. That's what I told President Biden, and I have proved that, because we are down to zero border crossings. Zero border crossings. That's not true.
It's not true. And if you essentially shut down the border, I assume the numbers would go down.
Yeah.
But immigration is still a reality. People seeking asylum is supposed to be a real thing. And yeah, you're right. The vast majority of these people have hiked tens of hundreds of miles to flee gang violence and terrible living conditions. So good luck showing up on the bus or the plane from America with $1,000 in your pocket. I'm sure it'll last real long when the cartels just come and take it from you.
Yeah, I'm sure they're waiting right off the bus, dude. Welcome. Right. Yeah, you gotta pay a fee to re-enter. So,
or give them $500 to smuggle you back into the country, and you profited $500. So, you know, it's a job creation program.
The brilliant idea from this administration.
This is the only news you need to know. After all, this is Need to Know News. News you need to know. Nuff said.
All right, let's. All this is depressing me. I don't know. We were talking last week about the fact that judges are getting arrested now, and that's probably going to become a new thing, and we'll see when and if that gets stopped. But how about arresting elected officials who are just simply telling immigrants what their rights are? Not hiding them in their basement, not smuggling them out of the state, just telling them what their rights are. Can you imagine an elected official being arrested for that?
No, I cannot. I know that there are elected officials doing that, and God bless their souls. There's also private citizens doing the same thing, and I think it's quite the service that we're offering to especially non-English-speaking people.
I can't understand a world where simply telling somebody what their rights are is construed as you helping them evade the law. But this is what's happening. And one of our favorite Democrats, the bright future star and, you know, relatively mentally and physically attractive.
That's a nice way. Who am I talking about? Mentally and physically attractive.
Yeah, I'm trying not to put her physical attributes first on the list because then I look like a douchebag.
Who is it, dude?
Democratic hottie. Come on. Who's the hottest Democrat out there?
Let me see. Come on. Gavin Newsom?
No. I mean, he's handsome.
Nice looking guy.
No, this woman's AOC. On your you got a
poster. AOC. Yeah.
Yes. AOC, yes. Who is a very smart, bright person with a bright future ahead of her. Who I think just turned 35, by the way, so she's just now eligible to be president, and as we said recently, should not be. Not only the woman thing, set that aside. She's got a long career ahead of her, and we don't need her burning out, becoming president at age 37 or something.
Let's not advance the conversation without mentioning that she has an ass that won't quit. I mean, we got to be honest all the way around, right?
Sure. So. Her ass won't quit, and hopefully she won't either, and will have a long life in politics. Congressman for years, Senate, maybe a cabinet position. Vice president, then president, I'm fine with Perfect. That. But anyways, AOC tore apart White House border czar Tom Homan recently after he questioned whether she was impeding deportation efforts by informing her constituents just what their legal rights are.
That is
Tom Homan is saying that she might be crossing the line and could be in legal trouble trying to teach people how to evade law enforcement, essentially implying that she is breaking the law. And as we just saw with that judge, we know what they would do with anyone they think is helping people avoid immigration laws.
Yeah, that's when we talked about the end of democracy, the end of our country. I mean, these are the building blocks of who we are. That, you know, I talk to my wife about this all the time because she's a defense attorney. And I remember when we first got together, I was like, why the defense side? She was like, because everybody deserves a defense, right? I was like, well, yeah. What do you mean? Explain that to me. Like, even people you know murdered someone deserves a defense. And she's like, yeah, that's the way it's written, dude. Everyone deserves a yes. defense. So you would hope yes. that if you were ever to find yourself in a situation where you were being accused of something, that you would get a defense. These are the building blocks being taken away from us.
Exactly. It's a foundational aspect of this country. And yes, everyone is entitled to due process, whether you are a citizen or not. If you're on our soil, you get on our legal system, there is due process. We do not have a system where one person gets to make one judgment one day, one time, and you're done, you're out of here. Right. Like, that is not how it works. And Trump this weekend, in that interview with Kristen Welker, had said, like, gee, I don't know if I'm supposed to uphold the Constitution when it comes to people having rights and due process. And he was like, "That if we did that, that'd be millions of trials we'd have to go through." Yeah, that's how it fucking works. Yeah. Everyone gets their day in court and then the right to appeal. Yeah.
Which you, sir, Donald Trump, have used many, many, many times. You're lucky that you've yes. had defense attorneys, dude, because you have been sued and accused of egregious things throughout your whole life over and over again.
And he is using the appeals process because that's the rights he has. So it's outrageous to suggest that nobody deserves due process and have ICE deporting people within 24 hours, arrest them, get them on a bus, get them on a plane. Like, he is obviously trying to circumvent the law and just be a king. And just, it's my way or the highway, and the courts need to stand up to it, and people like AOC need to stand up yeah. to it. And she said, as far as telling people what the rights are, there's nothing wrong with it, and there's nothing illegal about it. If they want to make it illegal, they can come take me. That's how I feel about it. Do I look like I care? AOC said.
Good for her, dude. She's a champion.
Right. She is indeed. So, yeah, boy, Trump, you're right. This legal process, it would be really long and drawn out. It's a process that people are due. I don't know what we call that, but yeah, it takes more than an afternoon in court.
Yes, it does. And sorry that the courts are so backlogged with a lot of bullshit right now in this country. That's where we are, dude. And I've had this conversation with people. Do you think that Garcia, if he actually is MS-13, you want him here? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that because I don't know if he's MS-13. I don't know if he's a violent criminal with violent gang affiliations. Well, let's find out together. Then, you know, right. we'll know for sure.
Put him through the process.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, the best way that someone explained it that I saw was like, you take that on. If I come and say you're a gang member. You say, no, I'm not. And I say, prove it, dude. Prove it.
Yeah. Guilty until proven innocent. That's how it works.
Yeah. Right?
Oh. And yeah, I keep seeing all these Trump officials. Oh, we know he's an MS-13. We know. If you know, then prove it in a court of law. That's how our system works. And by the way, like this photoshopped MS-13 tattoo thing, like you've got the FBI, the CIA, law enforcement, DOJ, and this is the best you can come up with is a photoshopped thing. And even if it said MS-13 on his knuckles, doesn't mean he still is, doesn't mean he broke the law. Well, be like, prove it in a freaking court of law. You're the top law enforcement in the world. You have every resource at your disposal. If you can't prove beyond a reasonable doubt that this guy's guilty of something, then yeah, that's how the system works. Then he's not.
I know a ton of idiots, dude, that have, you know, Tweety Bird and Sylvester tattooed on them that at one point in time they thought that was a great, I love Tweety Bird, I'm all about Tweety Bird. Well, they're not anymore. So even if he had it on his knuckles, which he doesn't, give him due process, dude. It's crazy. Let me tie this in just to give you a little happiness before we leave this program, Steve. RFK Jr. took over the Department of Health and promptly diagnosed it with too much science and not enough conspiracy. So let's get into the fact that major lawsuits are filed. This one on May 5th. A coalition of 19 states in Washington, D.C., led by New York Attorney General Letitia James, filed a federal lawsuit in Rhode Island challenging the Trump administration's restructuring of HHS. Massive workforce reductions is what they're talking about. Make America Healthy Again's initiative has led to an elimination of over 20,000 full-time HHS employees, consolidating 28 agencies into 15, and closing half of HHS's regional offices. This will obviously create a large disruption of essential service. The cuts have disrupted vital health programs, including disease testing, cancer tracking, maternal health, and early childhood education. The list goes on and on. The good news is that lawsuits are being filed to stop this. And it is incredible to me. Now 19 states have stepped up, and I think there's more on the way. But that we even have to do this. Like, what are we doing here? You look at Texas, and you see this measles outbreak. What are we doing here?
It's less science, more conspiracy bullshit, because that's red meat to the mega base. And, you know, it's creating a brain drain in this country. It's creating a ripple effect for all of these grants and programs and researches and medical facilities, that progress moves slowly, and then all of a sudden there's a breakthrough. So it's like we're about to see empty shelves in America. Like, you know, you screw with something a month ago, and right then you're like, hey, there's still toilet paper on the shelves. I guess it's not a big deal. It's because the supply line trickle down hasn't caught up yet, and it's about to catch up. And that's what's going to happen if you start cutting medical research and grants and everything. Like, today, do you notice a difference? No. And it's so hard to prove a negative, too.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to notice that something's not going to get cured in 6 months or a year or two, but that's what's going to happen. We're delaying everything until sane people take over the government again.
Yes. And hopefully, I mean, people will continue to step up, throw out these lawsuits, and try and stop what this freaking administration is doing. The legal action is part of a series of lawsuits challenging federal cuts, just so you know, including the recent elimination of $11 billion with a B in COVID-19 and public health funding. So we'll see where this all goes, but at least there are still some people standing up trying to push back and not let things happen so easily. God bless you, AOC. God bless you, Letitia James, and anyone else. God bless you, Steve Harness, for giving out all this information, dude, and getting people to stand up.
Do I deserve to be the Pope?
No, I mean, you're not Catholic. Oh, okay.
Sorry, I can convert. Yeah, you know, we're in the F around, find out stage of all of this stuff. So,
all I can say. Yeah. You don't know what to say. Did you watch Saturday Night Live yet?
I did. It was a shitty episode this week.
Did you like the list, though, that Trump of his executive orders? I thought those were pretty funny.
I don't remember what the list was, no.
Okay. I pulled the audio of it, but it doesn't look like we have time for it anymore. So,
we got 2 minutes. What do you got?
Oh, I'll play a little bit of this. I thought that guy who does Trump, I wish I knew his name, but he is really good.
I just thought the whole show was a little underwhelming this weekend. I don't know.
Oh, Dude, I got it. I can't believe I forgot this. You know who Scott Bessent is?
Oh, the Treasury Secretary?
Yeah. Did you hear his new nickname for Trump? Listen, dude.
No.
Listen to this, okay?
Secretary Scott Bessent.
Thank you for that kind introduction. This is a meeting for bold people with bold ideas. Well, I work for President Donald A. Trump, so I feel right at home.
Donald A.
Donald J. Trump, okay.
Jean-Noël de Trump. Oh, is he French now? Jean-Noël. You see, Nick, when you're lying in front of Congress and the cameras and everything else, your brain starts to short circuit.
Yeah, Jean-Noël de Trump.
Sacre bleu.
Yeah. All right, I'll play a few of these executive orders and we can trail out here.
All right, sir. This order would reduce the number of interracial couples in TV commercials.
Oh, it's just too many, right? You see them in the kitchen together making meal from HelloFresh. He's wearing loafers. She's got tight braids. You're like, where'd they meet, you know? What do they even talk about? It's insane.
Well done, sir. Sir, this order will make it socially acceptable for a man in his 70s to date a 24-year-old.
That's right. We're calling it the Belichick Law. We're going to make girlfriends young again, okay? Old men can now date far younger women. We like that. It's hot. But in reverse, it's quite disgusting, right? Very Dateline, you know? Did you see Belichick's girlfriend? She's pretty hot, right?
Yes. She is a beautiful creature.
God, you're creepy. This is why we don't hang out outside of work.
Understood, sir. Next is a pardon for author J.K. Rowling.
Ah, Jackie Rowling. We love Jackie. You know, she created a whole wizarding world, a wonderful place for overweight millennials to stake their entire identity well past the point of it being cute. I'm a Hufflepuff. No, bitch, you work at Staples.
Yeah, that Trump, I agree with a lot of what he says. So,
all right, dude. Well, that's going to do it. I'm going to go smoke a joint and try and feel better about my life, I think.
Yeah, that's a good plan. For everyone else, you should check out our social media stuff because we put time and effort into that. So find us on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, Threads, Reddit, Blue Sky.
Call our comment line, 844-48-VOCAL, and see our webpage, thevocalminority.net. We'll see you next time.
What up, players? It's your boy, M. You're listening to two of the dopest guys in the game, Nick and Steve, and the Vocal Minority. Stop worrying about mom's spaghetti and just make sure you're locked in every week. Peace, y'all.